is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat. I am a registered social worker and psychotherapist. Please note, this episode is not the act of psychotherapy. Something I hear a lot from my patients, my clients, and something I felt myself is I feel so invisible as a caregiver in the healthcare system. I feel like my needs don't matter. I feel like I'm not listened to. I feel like people don't consult me when making decisions or having conversations about my loved one. And I wish that I could say that working in the hospital system, I saw things that were different than this entirely. Like, I wish I could say this was 100% not true from the healthcare worker's perspective, but I can't. What I can say is that, at least where I work, we do really care about the perspective of the caregiver because it gives us a really good baseline in terms of how someone was functioning at home. I work on the inpatient side, so it would be if they're admitted, we would want to talk to the family about how things were at home, what is different, what do they have concerns about. But I don't see it happening as much as I wish it did. And I wish there was a way where when someone was admitted to hospital, we could have a questionnaire or a specific place for the caregiver to have a voice and for the caregiver to be able to indicate, this is what was happening at home. These are the changes I'm seeing. These are the concerns I'm having. And this is what I'm hoping for in hospital so that conversations can be had. Obviously, it's not always possible to meet those expectations. I think us as caregivers hope that things will be a certain way, and they can't always be that way. But to have more conversations where we meet in the middle rather than having those conversations when there is a crisis, when somebody isn't being discharged from hospital, when somebody is dying, that's when we tend to engage in those meetings. And I know that healthcare workers' time is limited. And so that's why I said a questionnaire would be helpful, something where we can get the automatic perspective from a caregiver, even at a start in the emergency room, would be great. Now, when a caregiver is coming with their loved one to the emergency room, they are often asked by the doctors there what home was like. But what if someone can't be there at the time? They're not often reached out to, is what I see. And that is a gap. That's a problem. Do I acknowledge that a lot of healthcare workers are very tired, overwhelmed, and burnt out? Yes. And I think that's across the board, even in an outpatient setting. I think things are getting better than how they used to be, but caregivers still feel invisible and at the mercy of the healthcare workers. And I think there needs to be a change. So what does a caregiver do when they feel invisible, both outpatient, inpatient? Maybe you're going to an outpatient appointment with your loved one and you're being told what the situation is in a very quick appointment. Not many room for questions and not many questions are asked of you. Next, down the assembly line. Again, not everybody is like this and not every situation is like this. And I think that a lot of healthcare workers do care. There just isn't room in the system to address these things. So I'm going to talk from both an outpatient and an inpatient perspective in the healthcare system. From an inpatient perspective, how can caregivers have their voice heard? Other than needing to be present all the time to wait to see when a doctor comes by, when a nurse comes by, when a practitioner comes by, what are other things that can be done? Because that is not the most practical option. And I have been there myself, and I know many people do this, where they'll sit at the bedside and wait and say, I don't want to miss the doctor, because if I miss the doctor, I can't find them, and I need to talk to them, and I need to know what's going on. Even if I leave a note and tell them to call me, they don't call me, and then things get lost. And it's not always practical to sit there all day waiting, because you never know when they're coming. And some doctors round at 7 o'clock in the morning. So are you going to arrive at the hospital at 7 o'clock in the morning? Some round in the evening. Are you going to come at 8 p.m. to see your loved one? So what are other ways? A lot of hospital rooms have whiteboards. Whiteboards are generally for communication with the healthcare team. They might write things like the doctor's name. They might write the date on there. But a lot of them have whiteboards with whiteboard markers. The markers are not always in the room. What I suggest to caregivers is to bring their own whiteboard marker and write details on the whiteboard. For example, Johnny is the son of Mr. Smith. Johnny's phone number is this. Mr. Smith is deaf. Mr. Smith cannot walk, etc. Put it all out there. Spell it out so that when someone walks in from the team, they can see everything you've written and it's right there in front of their face. Who is the next of kin? Oh, it's Johnny. Because then they're not having to go through the files. And oftentimes when we look in the demographic information and we look at the contact, it's not always the next of kin or the power of attorney. That's not always the person. Write it out. If you are not in the same city or location as your loved one, ask someone to write it for you. Call the unit and ask a nurse to write the following on the board. It is so important, especially if your loved one can't talk for themselves and can't advocate for themselves, for this information to be present in front of the team. Because even in team rounds where it's just us and we're talking about every patient, a lot of these things we don't know. We don't always know if Mr. Smith is deaf. We don't always know how Mr. Smith walked at home. Again, we will often call family for this information, but it's kind of in sporadic ways. Like the physiotherapist might call the family, but then me as a social worker might not know this information. And yes, I can look at the notes and find it, but oftentimes we don't have time to look through 20 different notes to see where the information is. So it's helpful to have that. Whiteboards is what I would say first. The second thing I would say is a family meeting. Now, I've mentioned this in other episodes before, and not every team is going to be receptive to this because of time constraints, and I get it. I mean, there's no time to just have family meetings for no reason. But if you're really concerned about something, if something is really bothering you, if you feel like the team really doesn't understand a situation and you need it brought forward, ask to have a family meeting. You can have a doctor at the family meeting. You can have a doctor's assistant at the family meeting. You can have a social worker, a physiotherapist, etc. It may not be the doctor that you want. It could be a resident that comes, but at least you're getting your questions answered. And you can say, I'm going to be at the hospital at 2 p.m. tomorrow. I would really like to meet with the family and have a doctor come forward and the social worker come forward so that the family's there, you're there, and the team is there to address concerns and write them out. Make sure you write out your questions because it's so easy to forget in the moment and you don't want to then say, oh my gosh, I forgot this and I forgot this. Prepare in advance. So the next thing I would say is a family meeting. The next is communicating next of kin. Now, next of kin, as well as a family meeting, are appropriate for the outpatient setting, less so the whiteboard one. But communicating next of kin is important, as is power of attorney. So it's not always obvious who powers of attorney are because they can often not be next of kin. And it's not so obvious who next of kin might be because if you're looking at a document as a doctor, as a doctor's assistant, as a secretary, and you're seeing contact and a name, we don't know who that person is. It is so important to communicate that because you don't want your information being passed over to the neighbor who brought your loved one to the hospital, gave their contact information, and now they're noted on the file, and they're being called when, in fact, it is you that is the nephew that's taking care of them. And you are the power of attorney, or you are the next of kin. Oftentimes, the healthcare workers assume that next of kin is a spouse, a partner, a child. But what if there are no partners or spouses and you're the nephew and that is the next of kin? Or what if there is a partner or spouse, but the designated power of attorney is the niece? They need to know that so that communication is properly being communicated to whoever is involved. But also, if there is an emergency and they need to contact someone quick for a decision, they know who to contact in a flurry of hospital issues. So make sure to state who's next of kin. And you can either do that by saying that on hospital admission, by calling an outpatient office and telling the secretary, and you can indicate how the relationship is of next of kin. So it's not just listed as contact. That is super important. The next thing you can do is actually contact a doctor's office or ask on an inpatient unit that communication be made to one of the interprofessional team members. People don't know that this can be done. They think that they have to wait there and see whenever the doctor comes and they can't access them at any other time. But if you really need to speak to one of the team members, and again, this will be prioritized because they have other people on their caseload. But if you really need to say something and it's important, you want to make sure to get that out there and not just wait all day for that person. So you can tell the front desk at the hospital that you want to get the following message out to the doctor. You can tell the social worker on the unit that you want the following message being sent to the doctor. You can call your doctor's secretary and tell them that you want to get a specific message to the doctor, and it will get to them. Most times, not all the time. Sometimes they take the message and it's never relayed, or we can't get in touch with the doctor. But you shouldn't have to wait and then have your ideas or your opinions and perspectives pushed aside because you can't see the doctor at a certain point or you're waiting for your next outpatient appointment. No, you can speak to doctors before that and you can actually ask for them to call you in most places. So that's another thing that many people don't know is asking that communication be made to the doctor. Another thing you can do if doctors are not available or they're not accessible, let's say that they have an office hour of Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you need to talk to somebody on a Tuesday and you're waiting, is you can actually find out who a primary contact might be in your doctor's absence. So in some clinics, I know for some dementia clinics, there is a nurse there every single day and they are fielding and helping the doctors out, or a nurse practitioner. And they're actually the ones that are available to talk and would be the ones that are available to communicate to in absence of the doctor, or they're actually the first line of communication. It's important to know what the sort of web is in terms of communication and who you should go to first, because oftentimes people just go directly to the doctor and can't reach the doctor. But there are so many other people that you could speak to and that actually are a first line of communication, and that is how that clinic works. So it's important when you are connected with a clinic to call them and ask, who is the person that I would want to speak to about X, Y, and Z? Who is the person that I would want to communicate with for any urgent issues? Is it the nurse practitioner? Am I calling the secretary? Am I calling the doctor? Is there a contact list at the office? These are all things that you can explore so that you know the inner workings. And every office is different. So every office has a different type of organization, and it's important to know what that looks like. The final thing that I would say is if you have been trying and trying and trying to find somebody in the team and you just can't locate anyone, you can't talk to people, you are so concerned, you have a lot of issues, try to speak to somebody in the organization. This is not going to yield immediate effects most of the time. But if you're seeing patterns that are concerning to you, they are likely concerning to other people as well. If you don't have your voice heard, other people also don't have their voice heard. And this is a systems issue. And in order to change the system, we need to communicate our concerns and what is wrong with the system. And that starts from the bottom. So if you're having issues and you're seeing issues with the system, you can either contact someone from the organization as a whole. A lot of places have a patient experience office where you can communicate things like this. You can go to a manager of a unit. If you're on an inpatient unit, you can go directly to an outpatient secretary or physician to speak your concerns, because they don't want you to be in these situations. They just don't notice what the breaks are, or maybe they don't know how many people are experiencing breaks. And in order to know, you have to tell them. This is obviously frustrating and it's not going to fix your issues right away, but this is how changes are made, by hearing from the collective community of what the issues are. Because I think when we hear enough as healthcare practitioners that there's an issue, we want to deal with that issue as soon as possible so that other people aren't feeling the same way. And the more people who come forward, the more we know are experiencing this issue. So make your voice heard. Don't be afraid to say something, because healthcare practitioners do actually want to know. They just don't know what the issues are that you're having. And when you're saying those issues, you can also say, you know what, I'm having this issue too. And I think communication would be appreciated at this time, or it would be really nice to have a handout about this, because I am always left in this appointment not knowing what to do when I go home with my loved one. How am I supposed to change their catheter? How am I supposed to change their dressing, right? These are all things that a lot of times are assumed. So can I have a handout? Is that possible at another visit, right? We have to communicate, and communication is hard when you're already so tired, so overwhelmed, so burnt out, but it is really important. So just to summarize, today we talked a bit about how to make your voice heard as much as we can. And we talked through whiteboards, family meetings, communicating next of kin, asking that communication be made to a doctor, looking at who to contact for immediate support, and speaking to somebody in an organization about your concerns so that these can be changed in the future. I hope you found this valuable and useful. I'd really like to know what you think about these episodes. So feel free to email me at stephanie@compassionincaregiving.com. Give me your feedback. Tell me what you think. Tell me if this resonated. Did it help? And I will see you next time for another episode of Caregiver's Compass. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.